No, let's do it. Yeah, God, thanks for this great opportunity in the next little bit here to really worship you and to zero in focus on you and what you accomplished, especially on that day when you suffered and hung on a cross. And we thank you, God, that it was for us. So God, in this small way, could you anoint three of us and Alina at home that we would be used of you today to really, again, just replenish and redraft the whole picture again of what you've done for each person that's online today. So God, we're just asking for your touch right now, that you would bless the wisdom that Bryce and Alina need, that you would bless Jason's voice and his flow of worship, and God, that you'd bless the words I have to share. We just thank you, God, and we just give you all the glory in your name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. We, of course, are starting the Easter weekend, and today is Good Friday. And as always, it's a opportunity to reflect and to spend some time just in humility before God and for all that God did on this day when Jesus suffered and, of course, hung on the cross. But it's also a reminder to us to celebrate new life that God has given us through the cross. And a picture of that this morning, just over an hour ago, my daughter-in-law gave birth to our fifth grandchild, and Madeline Blake is doing well, and mom, so I just excited as a grandpa. And but again, it reminds me that God has given us new birth, new life on Easter, and that's why we celebrate. Let's just, I'm going to pray, but we're going to just sort of roll a reflective service together here and share some thoughts, and we're going to have communion together. So if you haven't got communion emblems ready, could you grab those in the next couple minutes, and we will take communion in a short bit together. But let's pray. Yeah, God, thank you so much. First of all, I give you thanks for my new granddaughter. Again, what a perfect day to have her birth, to remind us what Easter's all about and what Jesus was trying to accomplish when he died on the cross. He accomplished that we'd have new life through his shed blood. So we celebrate that today, but we take a few moments this morning just to reflect, to be humble before you, God, and just to be reminded again of the love that you have for us and the depth of what you went through for us. So God, be honored in this time together. And we want you to know that we love you and we're excited, God, to be spending this time with you. So be honored in each of our lives, we ask. And Holy Spirit, just lead us through this time, we ask in your wonderful name. Amen. Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 7, tell us this. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we didn't esteem him. And surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Thank you.
I am not skilled to understand what God has will, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and deed. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior. That He will leave His place on high, come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God He is, my God is always gonna be. It's living, dying, let me pray. My strength, my soul is from this prayer, that He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. That He will leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior loves. My Savior loves, Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God He was, my God He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves. Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Guilt and lie, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ
stand.
Look, it's a standard blood transfusion. We're going to take about 2 units from your daughter. We're going to put them into your son. I think it's going to give him a fighting chance. We're hoping it's going to jumpstart his immune system. She has the antibodies, he does not. We've had great results doing this type of thing. Do you have any questions?
All right, thanks, Doc.
Sweetie, you ready?
Okay, this is gonna sting just a little bit.
There's a little sister who, you know, in order to save her brother's life, you know, thought she was going to die as she gave the blood transfusion. You know, Good Friday reminds us of someone who came to give his blood, to die, as it were, and to suffer for us. And what a great reminder that Jesus came to do this for love. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 9 remind us of this, and it tells us, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hill. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and he pardoned from sin. Could we withstand the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured down to death many times. I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death many times. I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. Yes, I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens. Well, one day I'll bow, but for now I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. For the cross, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we don't often think about it like this, but at the end of the day, Christians follow a condemned criminal. Jesus of Nazareth was executed on a Roman cross on charges of treason against the emperor and amidst accusations of blasphemy. It's no wonder when in his gospel, Luke is bolstering the confidence of doubting Christians. And Luke takes great pains to stress the complete innocence of Jesus throughout his discourse. His account of the accusation states it again and again, and is designed to show us that Jesus is utterly above reproach in the accusations that are against him. Pilate's initial investigation prompted him to decree of Jesus, "I find no guilt in this man." Actually, three times Pilate is declaring this in Luke's narrative of the gospel. And then he's sent to Herod, and Herod finds no fault in Jesus. Pilate's wife, when he comes back to Pilate, warns him at a dream she had that Jesus was a righteous man. And Pilate eventually washes his hands to show his opinion that Jesus is innocent. You know, one of the criminals on the cross next to Jesus is presented as a witness by Luke, stating, "This man has done nothing wrong." And finally, Luke declares through the Roman centurion, the centurion declares, "Certainly this man was innocent," and in another gospel it refers to him as the Son of God. It's hard to miss the point that Luke is making. Yes, Jesus was executed on a cross, But it wasn't because there was the least shred of evidence against him. He was completely innocent of any wrongdoing. Other scripture tell us that Jesus was completely without sin even. Hebrews 4:15, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Hebrews 7:26, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, has become higher than the heavens. 1 Peter 2:22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5, he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And 1 Peter 1:18, 19 says, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The fact that Jesus died on the cross is not because he was guilty or had all these accusations were true about him. It was because his Father and he himself allowed it to happen. He chose to die for us. That's clear way from way back in chapter 9 of Luke, where after Jesus had predicted his death, we read these words, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's in chapter 9, verse 51. You see, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He died with a purpose and for a purpose, freely giving his life of his own choosing, not because he was guilty of sin on earth. He was guilty because he took our sin, our guilt upon himself on the cross, and he chose to do that. And what was the purpose of him doing that? Simply put, an innocent Jesus died so that the guilty might go free. What better visual aid can you picture than the moment when Pilate had given them their cultural choice to release a prisoner in this time of the season in the city there. And he brings before them Barabbas and Jesus on the other side. And Luke describes Barabbas as a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. And can you picture that scene when the crowd is being stirred up by the religious leaders and they begin to say, he says, who do you want me to release? And they say, Barabbas. And he says, well, what do you want me to do with Jesus? And they start to shout out, crucify him, crucify him. What an injustice. What an incredible twist of events to a man who's guilty going free and a man who's innocent dying in the place. This clearly guilty man, Barabbas, is released and Jesus is put to death despite his obvious innocence. You know, this is the glory of the cross, that Jesus died as a substitute in the place of guilty men and women like yourself and like myself, that we might live. We were separated from God because of our sin, and the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We cannot dwell with a holy God because of our sin. And Jesus died to take the guilt that we have and the separation we have from God upon himself so that we could live and have relationship with God for eternity. You see, the just punishment our sins deserved was poured out on Jesus in our place instead of upon us so that we could, or God could accept us as though we were completely innocent of any wrongdoing. Jesus Christ's death made us innocent of all sin and guilt. So we come back full circle to that passage in Isaiah that we read at the beginning of the service today. You see, Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus was that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. We're guilty of sin. Jesus was not. Yet he died on the cross for your sin and for my sin to take our guilt away. What an amazing story. What an amazing God. What an amazing love that God has for us, that Jesus would do this in our place. In the Lord's Supper, in communion this morning, we want to remember the sacrifice that Jesus had for our sin, and that he was completely guilty. He took all of that torture, all of that shame, all of that punishment, all of that grossness against his body, that we might have life. And he offered it freely, his own choice. He gave his life for you and me, even though he was completely innocent. As we prepare to take communion, I'd ask you to take your emblems and hold them. And we're going to take, I know a minute might seem like a long time, but we're going to take a moment of silence. Silence to prepare ourselves to take communion, but it's silence to reflect on what we've been singing and what we've been reading from Scripture and being challenged by this morning. And a moment to examine our own lives and our commitment to Christ. And you know, if there's anything in your relationship with Christ that needs to be worked out, you know, and maybe you just need to come before him humbly today and just renew your vow to him. Or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and today is a great day to say, you know, I don't understand it all, but if this innocent man laid his life down so I could have eternal life and a relationship with God, then maybe I need to humble myself and bow and ask him to forgive and cleanse my sin. And you can do that right now just by praying and having a conversation as if with a friend to him. But let's take this moment to just be silent, to honor the one who loved us and loves us today still. Wafer or bread this morning remind us that Jesus said that it was just a symbol of his body that would be broken for us. And as often as we take it, that we should remember him. Let's partake of the wafer, remembering the suffering and the broken body of Jesus for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for taking the pain, for suffering, for allowing your body to be hung on that cross in our place. This morning, as we take the cup, we reflect on his shed blood, the blood that cleanses us from all sin, from all guilt. It's all through his blood. That's what gives us hope and eternal life and a relationship with God Almighty. And we can live today because we know that our tomorrow is in his hands. As we reflect on that and the blood that cleanses us from our sin, let's take it together in remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Oh, 'tis now. Your mansions of glory and endless delight I'll ever adore thee. In heaven so bright, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything, and I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. And great is the mercy and grace are mine, forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry. So let your kingdom come. Your word has led me see. Thank you for saving me. Great is the Lord. true has set free. Do you believe that? You've set your God, you've set your God, you've set your in. Thank you for saving me. What can I say?
Praise your name, God. Praise your name. Yeah, words seem so limited, God. We think of all that you've done for us. But we appreciate this time together today, God, to be able to just step back and just reflect and just remind ourselves and allow the Spirit to move in our lives, again, of this amazing God that we have. And Jesus, you were innocent, yet you took on guilt. You were innocent of everything, God, but you were condemned. So God, thank you that we are not condemned. We are innocent. We are guiltless because of your love for us. And we live that life out now by the power of the Holy Spirit who's at work in each of us. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We pray all of this, and we've done all of this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you at home, but I think Jason and I and Bryce and Alina on tech here can say that we have enjoyed this moment with God. And just what a beautiful atmosphere here. But I trust that's been the same for you and that God will bless you. Isn't he wonderful? And again, let's throughout the day again just be reminded of his love for us. And folks, on Sunday morning, 10 a.m., let's come back together and let's celebrate a risen Christ. God bless you and give you a fantastic weekend.